Thanks for joining us on the Port City Church podcast. More information about Port City Church is available at portcitychurch.org.
Good morning. Happy 20th to all of you. What a surreal week. If you were not here in the beginning, you missed the tour of the first service of Port City Community Church, and a 28-year-old kid trying to convince himself as much as anybody that this was actually a real thing, let alone anybody else who might choose or be called, I guess would be the better hope, to be a part of it. One of the things is I've been thinking back and just even where I'm at today in my journey is that God intends, his intention is that the world would know that he loves them. That's his intention. He fully intends for every single person in our city, our region, and our world to come to know that they are deeply loved by God. And the second thing, and this is where it gets harder and harder, or at least for me, a little bit more sense of urgency, is that his intention is to do that through us. When we talk about we must be this kind of church, it's not dramatic to try to get followers on Instagram or to get a buzz. It's because that's what we believe that God intends for us to do. And the job, the call of you and I as followers of Christ, if that's where you are, is to allow that, allow his work, allow the power of his Spirit to awaken that in your heart to where you believe that personally. And that's what we start to give our lives to. This is not an optional thing. It's not a convenient thing. It's not a, hey, let's help us get better so we can, you know, do better. It's a really, really serious thing that we began. And as I've been thinking back through what we want to do today, well, it's actually quite simple. I just want you to be aware that you have walked into a miracle, okay? It is very, very, very easy to think or to believe that because we're 20 years in and stuff seems to work, that we know what we're doing. And I don't say that like we don't. There are lots of things we've learned and we do really, really well. But it does not in any way undermine or change the miracle that you have walked into. In fact, I was thinking about this. When we started Port City Church, we had our first service on a fluke. It was in Roland Grice Middle School, which is in the middle of town, for those of you who don't know. And the reason we were meeting in a home, we were content to meet in a home for, we had forecasted about a year to a year and a half to build a core group, to raise some money, to get ready to do what you're about to do. Because that's what smart people do. And some folks said, hey, why don't we, you know, you talk about having services, why don't we have a service to see what it's gonna be like? So we said, okay, we'll found out that Roland Grice was $150 a month, and I think you had to rent it for 3 or 6 months, and we're like, we'll take it. We don't have any money, we just figured we'd figure it out. And so we signed this lease, we had it every Sunday, we at least tie it up, right? At least tie it up, because it's a great place to meet. And so we rent this middle school, we set our first service. The first service was supposed to be October the 18th, 1999, so we're all stoked about this. So we had about 25 people that we thought would come. That was kind of our core group, people that included about 12 adults and then about 12 high school kids that were in my youth group that were kind of helping us out. This is a genius way to do this, by the way. And so we decided to have this service, and so we called our family in. So at least, I mean, the auditorium sat 700 people. So you can imagine 25 people in a 700-seat auditorium isn't exactly momentum. People show up and they're like, where is everybody? It's the first question, where is everybody? Yeah, I know we're wondering the same thing, but we're gonna do this anyway. So we invited some of our friends and family so they would show up and at least kind of make some room in the middle. And Hurricane Irene was rolling up the coast in 1999. So we had a friend who let us stay in their beach house. We were all in this beach house and we were thinking it's Saturday, we're gonna have to cancel the first service of Port City, which honestly wasn't a big deal. We weren't disappointed because we weren't sure if anything's gonna work anyway. So like, it's not a big deal. So we instead of calling everybody to cancel, we could have called like 20 people, hey, we're canceling and we'll do it next week and be cool. Instead of canceling, well, what I decided to do, we called the news. Because this is before the internet and social media. So what they would do is if you called the news and let them know of your cancellation, they would print it on the ticker that rolls across the screen. Do you remember this? So we called them, hey, Port City Community Church is canceling their services tomorrow. So we're all sitting around the TV, and here it comes rolling across. Port City Community Church cancels. We're like, yes, yes, yes. There it is right there, real life. You know, it's a thing. Because it was like the first thing that we ever saw that meant this was a thing. Everything else until this point was an idea. And so when I tell you this because you have walked into a miracle. You've walked into something that isn't a strategic, a well-executed strategic plan. You've walked into something that has ebbed and flowed and morphed and changed and become, not because of me or because of anybody else, but because of what God was doing in the hearts and lives of literally tens of thousands of people over 20 years, maybe more than that, that have sort of done something or been a part, or their stories have kind of intersected with God's in this way to create something, to cause something, to make it come into being. One of the things that also happens is this sign, back behind here, there's kind of a museum, if you will. And it's just all the stuff that we've done over the years. And it sits back there. And so that all of our musicians and folks and people who walk by there can see, just be reminded that they're walking into a miracle. And this sign, our number's not even correct anymore, but this sign was the very first sign that we hung. So we had our first service, and on that first service, we canceled the one on October 18th, so we just moved to the next week. The next Sunday, we were expecting 24 or 25. We had 84 or 85 people show up. Most of them were college kids. And they're like, hey, are y'all doing this next week? We're like, of course we are. And that's how we started. So we had to buy a sign. Now, what's interesting is this sign cost about $84, $85. We had to have a board meeting to see if we had the money to buy a sign. I don't want to ever forget what it feels like to be dependent. And the problem is, the more history you have, the more things go well, the more you do things, the smarter, the more lessons you learn, the more independent you get. And I don't want us to forget what it means to be dependent. So I sat down, and y'all know I keep journals. So these are them. This is probably about a third of them. This one right here is from 96, 97. This has the first thing in my handwriting where I felt like God was calling me to start a church. The first time I ever thought, I think I might possibly, God, you might be. You know how you do that? You don't just say, God's calling me to start a church, because that sounds too bold. So you use a lot of qualifiers. Maybe, possibly, could be, this might, whatever. And it's in my own handwriting, this idea. There's a pink pros and cons list where I was trying to decide if I should stay in Wilmington or leave because things were so bad where I was. Should I leave? God, please let me leave is actually the prayer. Please let me go somewhere else and get a new start. You ever felt like that? And the only thing in there is like, why should I stay? Perhaps God isn't finished with me in Wilmington. Y'all, that's not bold, prophetic leadership. It's a Hail Mary. It's God, please, something. It's so funny. These are my journals from 1999. These are all the months leading up to the first services of Port City Community Church. In fact, the first time that Port City is mentioned in here, I actually called it Axis Community Church because that's what I was going to name it. Isn't that cool? PC3 would have been nothing, right? What's a PC3? And somehow greater wisdom prevailed and it wasn't Axis Community Church. But that's what I wrote down here. And it's funny, I used to pray, I was looking back through here, and my youngest daughter wasn't here yet. My oldest daughter was about 3, so you know where this is going. And I used to pray, Acts prayers. Have you ever heard this before? It's an acrostic: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So if you're praying, if you're ever doing journals, this is how I learned. You write A-C-T-S, and you write a prayer of adoration to God, you write a prayer of confession, you write a prayer of thanksgiving, and then a prayer of supplication. And all my confessions are, God, lost my temper with Madison again. It's like, I'm like, either she was a terrible kid or I was a bad parent, like one of the two. Today is actually her birthday, so we're gonna say happy birthday when you see my Maddie. She's 24 today. She's been here her whole life, and she told me a couple of weeks ago, I'll cry if I say it. So here's what I want you to hear this. This is one of the journal entries. And it's so funny because I must have been writing really fast because it's from one page then to the next. And all it says, the last line is, anyway, I have such a wild imagination and so many crazy ideas, Lord help me. But you turn it over and it says, to keep all this within check, that my life is to be lived simply in worship before you. It's a prayer. It's not a prophecy. It's just, God, this is what I see and sense that you are doing. It's interesting that what I see in here is it's just really one thing after another. Here's another one. God, I acknowledge you as the giver of everything, but yet I still dream and even scheme. Anybody ever felt like that? Like this, it's all through here. It's like, God, I'm so afraid. God, what about this? Oh God, what if you did this? Oh God, this is a great idea. What if you did this? And you're trying to force his hand to get him to do something. Because like, y'all, we didn't have money. We didn't have any financial. In fact, we were told by every church planting movement, you gotta save 150 grand before you ever start a church. We didn't have any. We just started. And you know what, I remember this, and I remember this vividly, but by the end of the first, I think the first month, we actually set a budget. We set a budget, and we had this kind of ad hoc board members, because I didn't know money and do money, so they said, we'll get together. We were taking offering in this small group, and we had rented Rolling Rice, and we had some other stuff going on, and our first budget required $2,407 a month was our monthly budget for the first 8 or 10, whatever months it was. $2,407. Our weekly money that we received was $2,412. I was like, we should ask for $5 more, man. That's how it worked. So here's one. This is in April of 1999. So this is 5 months before the first service of Port City Church. God, this has been a refreshing week. I must admit that I'm frightened. I am frightened. I know this is dumb for you, but I'm frightened about the number of people it would take to become a self-supporting church. Terrified is the word. That means people have to give money or else I'm gonna starve. I have a wife and a kid. This is what it was like. Then it goes on, it says, but that's not my concern. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to simply be obedient to you. Bless you. There's no one that's really funny in here. I'm not sure what was happening, but this is what I wrote down. It says, I received an affirming email today. Thankful for God's goodness. And then it just says, just tending to a little insecurity. Just tending to a little soul wonkiness here. Something's going on. I don't even know what it is. But it's so cool to have all this stuff. To be reminded that it's not about all of this stuff. It's about something else that God has been doing in and through. And I think this is the lesson that we learn in all this. When I read back through and I think about the story of Port City Community Church and what was happening and what is supposed to happen and where we're going and all that good stuff, I want for you just to consider when you have felt or sensed that God was calling you or drawing you to something. For some of you, it's right now because you showed up in church and you feel like you're here and that something's happening. You're not really sure what it is. And so you sort of feel this. And then what's the progression after that? What happens after that? For me, when I began, it's not like, hey, God calls and Mike just says, okay, here am I, Lord, send me. It's not been my journey. What I think is there's sort of a progression that happens between fear, which is my initial response, and then this finally when I do or act or move according to what I feel or sense God is calling me to do. And there are three kind of progressions, and I'm gonna have you say these out loud because I didn't print out outlines or anything like that. I just want you to remember this in your head. The first is calculation. So I want everybody on our campus to say calculation. So it's fear, calculation. Ready? Fear, calculation. Everybody's playing along. Number two, hesitation. Fear, calculation, hesitation. Fear, calculation, hesitation. So what happens is we get afraid, then we start figuring out how we're not gonna be afraid, how we can pull it off. You ever do this? I'm not sure if this is gonna work, really scared about it, so if I can just get knowledge, get enough information, get enough understanding, then I won't have to be afraid anymore. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on what you learn in your own understanding. It's in the Bible, Proverbs 3. Because you know what our tendency is? It's to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and figure out how to pull it off and then trust that. So it's calculation, fear, calculation, fear, calculation, hesitation. As soon as you get it figured out, then at least for me, I start second guessing. I don't know. I don't know God. I'm not the guy. I should go back to architecture. I should just do this. I shouldn't even be alive. I mean, like, come on. Like, do you ever just have this pity party? You're like, God, why this? People say, Mike, or you know, what's the biggest, you know, kind of surprise of Port City? I'm like, me? If you really knew, like you, it's been surreal kind of thinking back. It's calculation, hesitation, and then once I realize I'm not gonna quit, then it's kind of desperation. And you feel like, oh my God, if you don't do something, then this isn't gonna work. And when you get to that point, you're actually ready for what God wants you to do. If you haven't been there, lean into that, move into that, head into that. Because what we're gonna do today, what we wanna do today is I wanna kind of invite you into this story because it is your story. This isn't like, it's not my story, it's our story. It's God's story being told to us. And everybody walks in here in different places. And there's some things that when I think about this that are just incredible. So I've been praying about this for a while. And what I would say just by way of kind of clarity is the reason this is so important to me is because it reminds me of what this is really about. There is no substitution for time with God. There just isn't. Leadership conferences, busying yourself at church, programs, there's no substitution for getting before God and saying, God, I'm not sure what to do. Or God, here I am. I am afraid. I am worried. I don't know how this is gonna turn out. There is no substitution for that. If I had to tell you anything, what I have found is that what Port City Church, what it is a culmination of, no pun intended, of 1,000 little things done by thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. That's what it is. It's a little step of faith. Most of the entries in there aren't about the big decisions in the church. It's about, God, help me with this because I feel like you're forming this. Help me in my thoughts. Help me in my temper. God, form me into your image. Help me to learn how to serve and love my wife. There are so many articles or entries about my and Julie's wife, praying for her, seeking God. I mean, just all kinds of things. Give me vision for my marriage and for my family. Because everything else is an expression of that, of what's happening in the inner world, what's happening in your heart. There's just no substitution for that. Staying focused on him and staying faithful to him in every single little moment. There's no substitution for that. Is that clear to everybody, right? Okay. That's why we want to help you walk with God, because that's what it is. So as I was praying for this time and trying to figure out what to do, what I wanted for us to do, I was reading through 1 Samuel, and 1 Samuel is David and the kings and all this, the emergence of a king, and there's one place where the Philistines and Israel, they're fighting, and Philistines won, they captured the ark comes back, it's a long story. But basically, God intervenes. The people are going to just decide they're going to trust God. And God intervenes, and he wipes out the Philistines. And so Samuel comes out, and he raises up a stone. He takes a stone, and I think Stonehenge is kind of what I think. He like lifts this thing up into place. He stands it up, and he says, "We're going to call this Ebenezer." It's a good name for a stone. If you ever have a pet rock, call it Ebenezer. So he raises this monument up, and he calls it Ebenezer. He says, "This is our stone of help. This is our stone of help." And this is what he says, all this in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. He says, "Because thus far, God has helped us. We don't know about next week or next month, but so far, so good." And that was enough. And so when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, 20 years. 20 years, you want to come out, you want to go, "Here's where we're going. Here's the hill we're going to climb. Here's what's going to happen." I'm like, "No, today we're just going to raise up a stone. We're just going to sort of push up a stone and push it up and say, what will we call this? What will we call this stone?" Well, I think God gives us the capacity to name things, to call things, to speak things into an existence. I mean, it's modeled after him, right? "Let there be light, and behold, there was light." So I'm not suggesting that we just name and claim things. I am suggesting that he says, let's see what he's doing. Let's put up a monument or a stone, and let's call it something that reflects what we feel like he's doing. And so I said, we would call ours a stone of confidence. A stone of confidence. Maybe it's just for me, but perhaps you can relate. Because my tendency, when I feel like God has called me to do something, is to start calculating, to figure out how can this happen? How can I pull this off? What strategic plan? Who do we need? Blah, 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 blah. Then I go, "Oh, I'm not the guy to do that." And I hesitate. And when I realize I'm probably not gonna quit, I say, "Okay, God, you can be trusted. You can be trusted. Don't ever let me lose my confidence in the fact that you can be trusted in every single situation." That's what we're declaring today. We're raising up a stone and say, this is our stone of confidence. We're not going to sit here and say, "Here's where we're going. Here's where we're going. Here's what the church is. Here's the vision for the church." What we are saying is, we don't care what the future holds. We're going to declare our confidence in God for it, no matter what it is. Now, this is really important, because a lot of us, and maybe you're like this, you get out of here and it's the news, it's the economy, it's the what's happening in the Middle East and the Serbs and the Kurds, and it's the elections, and it's the pilot, it's all that. You're like, "Oh my gosh, what does the future hold?" And you start calculating. Fear comes in. "Oh, if we just elect this, if we just do this, if we just get this, if we just, then we'll have this. Then we'll be back to where we're supposed to be." And then you start going, "Ah, that'll never work. And if it doesn't, I'll just move to Canada," right? You get your backup plan. Or St. John, that's where I'm going. So anyway, you get the idea. But you start in this. And the problem is, what happens is it keeps us in this cycle. It keeps us in this cycle of trying to depend on everything else to be the foundation for our confidence. And instead we say, right now, it doesn't matter what the future holds. Some of you are dealing with some really heavy stuff, I know. But it doesn't matter what the future holds, I am not going to lose my confidence in Him. If I've learned anything in 20 years, it is that God is unbelievably faithful. And I don't mean that in like hyperbole, right? I'm not saying unbelievable. I mean, like, there are things that I still have a hard time believing that He's been that faithful. And for some of you, I think that's what you need. You're still trying so hard to figure out what's going to happen 2 months from now, or 6 months from now, or 12 months from now, or 2 years from now. And that's keeping you from declaring your confidence. If you see anything in here, what you realize is that over and over and over again, all of these movements began with declarations. A declaration that I'm going to trust, I'm going to believe, I'm going to declare my faith in Him for whatever happens next. I've gotten several emails over the last few weeks, very, very sweet, sweet emails about the stories of people who've interacted in and through Port City Community Church. And what it does is, it, at least this one particularly, gave me a perspective that well, let me just tell you what happened. So it's some friends of ours, and they're going through an extremely difficult time. Darkness was the word that was used. The struggle to believe are the words that were used. So this person writes me this email, and she's heard the stories, or he's heard the stories, of over the last few months, where I talk about at the beginning, we weren't sure what we were doing. You know, 10 years in, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, you know, what have I got myself into? And so her story says, when you started this church 20 years ago, I was 9. That's always nice to hear. When you were an adult, I was like a kid. When you were starting this church, I was 9. When you were trying to figure out if this is what God wanted you to do, I was 9 years old and in the fourth grade. When you were sitting in the parking lot considering what you had gotten yourself into, I was 19 and considering that same question for a whole host of different reasons. And now I'm walking through the hardest thing I've ever had to walk through in my entire life. And what amazes me is that God knew that that 9-year-old girl would need a place like this 20 years from now to walk with her through the hardest thing that she will face. I just thought, that never crossed my mind. That never crossed my mind. I never imagined that God was doing something 20 years ago that would matter significantly today. And now here's the thing. It's not because I did something. It's because there were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who did thousands and thousands and thousands of little things that wove together to become this story and this place and this way to demonstrate His love for a person. God intends to show the world that He loves them. Maybe that's why you walked in here today. I've kept this card. It's not my wallet anymore, but it's my wallet for about 12 years, and I put it on my desk now. I've kept it with me since about a month before the church started. And I heard it from Rick Warren, and so I just stole it from him and modified it a little bit. And it's just a good reminder. It says, God has resources to help you that you have not even considered. We were a church of about 25 when we wrote this down. They are multiplied thousands of persons with all sorts of talents and concerns and contacts that God can bring into your life at any time in order to fulfill His plans. Great people are ready to help me at the right time in the right way, people I don't even know yet. I promise I will never give up because I cannot see a way. If only you knew how many times couldn't see, or second-guessed, or hesitated, or wanted to crawl in a hole, or wanted to move to St. John and make hammocks. You would hopefully go, oh yeah, oh yeah. But at some point, you just have to declare that your confidence in him is just stronger, is just more stubborn than all the other things that press against us. That's what he uses. That's what he uses. Some of you are here. Listen, I can tell you I care deeply about what the next 20 years at Port City looks like. I'll be 69 years old. I'm hoping I'll be in St. John making hammocks. I'm just kidding. But I want for us in this moment not to be concerned about the future right now. We have erected a monument, a stone, and it is our stone of confidence. And I want us to just declare that he's here, that he's working. He's working. You may not be able to see it. You may not even be able to believe it. You may not be able to conceive it. But he's doing things that he actually described. So I'm doing things you can't even conceive. He's right. And for us, we just need to declare that God, you are the one who makes a way. You are the one who guides and leads and does and performs. And we don't have to see it and we don't have to feel it. But dadgummit, we're going to declare it. We do not have to know what the future holds in order to confess and declare our confidence in the one who holds it. So I'm going to invite everyone to stand together in all of our campuses, and we're going to declare this together. Father, I thank you. And just want to confess again that you are faithful and that my confidence is in you. God, I pray that that would resonate as we declare this together, that you are here. You've brought some people here for the first time just to let them know that they are loved. God, for others, they're here and they see absolutely no way that they're going to get from where they are to where they want to be, let alone anything to do with where you want them to be. God, just meet them as the one who makes a way. And God, let this declaration be one of faith and one of hope, not because of where you're taking us in the future, but because of who you are. God, I ask this in the name of your son, Jesus, who is our King.